Welcome to our worship today. Our focus today on this second Sunday of Lent remains on the message of the cross. It is only in Jesus that we can find strength to be resolute on our journey to follow him. May God bless our time in his word today. We begin the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him. We deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us turn to our Lord and confess our sins and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you. I do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. Dear friends, God our Heavenly Father has forgiven us all of our sins. By the perfect life, the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed our guilt forever. We are his own dear children. May God give us the strength always to live according to his will. Amen. We'll pray. Almighty God, you see that we have no power to defend ourselves. Guard and keep us both outwardly and inwardly from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to our lessons for today, the Word of God. Our opening lesson is from the Old Testament, from Jeremiah chapter 26. True prophets tell the truth. We begin reading at verse 8. As soon as Jeremiah finished telling all the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and said, "You must die. Why do you prophesy in the Lord's name that this house will be like Shiloh, and that the city will be destroyed and desolate?" And all the people crowded around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard about these things, they went up from the royal palace to the house of the Lord and took their places at the entrance of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people, "This man should be sentenced to death because he has prophesied against this city. You have heard it with your own ears." Then Jeremiah said to all the officials and all the people, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the things you have heard. Now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. Be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on those who live in it. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing." This is God's word. And we hear a reading from our gospel today, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 13. We'll begin reading at verse 31. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." This is the gospel of our Lord. We continue with our message for today. And that comes from our third lesson, the epistle lesson, from Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writes, Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. This is God's word. Having a right mindset is very important in being successful. A right mindset would include such things as your attitude, the way you think, the decisions you make. All of these factors are vital in achieving success. Having the right mindset in everything in life can either make you or break you. As we continue our walk with Jesus to Calvary's cross this Lenten season, it is important for us to do that with a Lenten mindset. And the Apostle Paul lays out for us what that Lenten mindset is. He does it by way of four bullet points. And as we look at those bullet points, we see that the Lenten mindset calls for more than just attentive listening. It also requires an active participation. So let's begin then with the first bullet, and that is to follow a model. Verse 17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. When you are new at something, following some pattern, a model, is one of the best ways to learn. This past week, I saw that played out with my 7-year-old granddaughter. And there's a couple of examples that I was able to watch this week that will serve in my sermon today. First of all, it was at the bowling alley. She could barely lift the ball. And so she used that ball release, that plank where you put the ball on it and it rolls down the alley and strikes the pins. Well, after the first throw, you would readjust it to make it, you know, probably more centered. And her older sister helped her the first time. But after that, after she would throw the first ball, already in the second frame, she would tweak it a little bit. She learned. She learned from her sister how to bowl better. Watching how it worked helped her a great deal. Most of the Philippians were new Christians. They were new to the faith. And so the Apostle Paul suggested that they would follow an example, namely him and his co-workers. This is how he puts it. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Those words are rather interesting because just think of it. Here is a man who called himself the chief of sinners. And now he's asking those Christians at Philippi to use him as a model. Now, Paul was not tooting his own horn. He was praising God's grace that was being revealed now in his life. You don't need to do it because I wouldn't see it anyway, but just think about it to yourself. Have you been a Christian for a while? And I would imagine that most of you listening would probably have to agree, yeah, I've been a Christian for a while. Well, you know what that means? That's Paul's first point. It means that our Christian lives goes beyond just listening and following. It means now you are a model for others to follow. And so you need to ask yourself, when others hear you talk, Are you being a good model? When others see how you live, are you being a good model? Are you the same in with fellow believers as you are when you are mixed with others? Or do you change? Those are questions that we need to keep in mind as we hear God's word and live the Lenten mindset. And the second bullet point is to do this: forget the past. I read verses 18 and 19. For as I often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Here Paul is describing people who pursue pleasure for their bodies at the expense of safety for their souls. An enemy of Jesus cannot at the same time be an ally of our Lord's. If you are looking down at the floor, you cannot at the same time be looking at the ceiling. If your mind is on earthly things, it cannot be at the same time focused on heavenly things. Living without focusing on the heavenly things cheapens God's grace. And if you are asking, what does that mean, to cheapen God's grace? Well, here's a simple definition. Cheapening God's grace is taking advantage of what Jesus did for you and relying on God's grace, knowing that your sins are forgiven. Therefore, you are lazying your life of living to the glory of God. In other words, it means that we are coasting in using our lives to give glory to our Savior. A young boy, new to driving, was going a little too fast and got in an accident with Dad's pickup. Despite Dad's assurance that accidents happen and that he should learn from his mistakes, the teen was devastated and he had a hard time shaking it off. A couple of days later, he approached his father, "Dad, about that accident," and Dad cut him off right there. "What accident?" Dad said. "That's why I carry insurance." Even though there was a $500 deductible to pay, Dad covered that expense as well. Do you think that that teen remembered Dad's act of love, especially the next time he drove? At different points in our lives, we have all been in that young man's shoes. Maybe we have had a hard time putting some of the past behind us. Paul's encouragement is much like the father to his son. Forget the past, learn from your mistakes, and remember your insurance. That being Jesus' blood on Calvary's cross. With his blood on the cross, Jesus not only paid the deductible, he paid the entire price for our sins. And with the price paid, we will never want to live as enemies of the cross, but rather we will want to honor Christ's sacrifice with our lives. And Paul's third bullet is to look to the future, verses 20 and 21. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And with these words, the Apostle Paul is encouraging us to be heavenly minded. Do you have any aches and pains? Are there days you would love to forget? Does a daily battle against your old Adam wear you out? Well, join the club. But that doesn't mean we have to go through life like a bunch of grumps, kicking the dirt and frustration. Our citizenship is in heaven. What a promise that is. And what a motivation it is now then for us to live with purpose until we get there. And we have a wonderful example of how to do that in the Bible. The example is our Lord Jesus. Did he have aches and pains after a long day? When his father died at an early age in Jesus' life, did sadness fill his life? Did the constant criticism of the Pharisees wear him down? And at the end, as he was suffering on the cross, how could we even imagine what Jesus was going through? The author of the Hebrews tells us how Jesus did it. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. As Jesus lived in the present, he always looked to the future. And therefore, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And finally, the final bullet, Paul says, stand firm in the Lord. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. The love Paul had for the men, women, and children at Philippi pours out in this verse. Philippi was the first church that Paul founded in Greece, and the members were near and dear to his heart. Paul says to his loved ones, stand firm in the Lord. Well, how do you do that? Once again, I turned to my granddaughter. As I watched her at the coaster in Williams trying to keep her balance on the conveyor belt that takes the snow tuber back up to the top. The first time over and over she rolled trying to stay upright on the belt. She had to learn to spread her feet in order to stand firm and to keep her balance. We stand firm in the Lord by spreading our feet. The left foot planted in the Old Testament and the right foot planted in the New Testament. The left foot in the Old Testament reminds us of every promise God makes to us in his word. The right foot planted in the New Testament reminds us of every promise God keeps for us in his word. Standing firm in God's word will help us to brace ourselves against anything that comes against us. And that is not just a hope and a prayer. It's a promise from the one who loves us the most, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in confessing our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Then we pray. Heavenly Father, because of our sins, we deserve to suffer both your curse during our time on earth and your condemnation eternally in hell. But we plead for your mercy because your Son Jesus suffered the punishment for our sin. For his sake, you have forgiven our sins. You've cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Now, trusting that he will intercede for us, we dare to ask you for your blessing. Provide, Lord, whatever each of us may need for body and life. Protect us and those we love from all harm and danger. Maintain good government among us. Bless all those in authority with wisdom and integrity. Defend us from the devil and the world which would lure us back into the way that leads to eternal death. Destroy in us the desires that are contrary to your will. Comfort the persecuted, the depressed, the sick, and the dying with the assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and strengthen our faith by the word of your forgiveness. Grant that we may praise you, our merciful Father, by showing mercy to others in all their needs. We commit to your care our bodies and souls and all things, because you have purchased us by your own with the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in the name of our Savior who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.